chop pra você fizer lele. Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Live with Body Pal. I got my co-host Gary with me. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, everybody?
And our special guest, the Fi Resellers. That's Kang and Camilla. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you were able to join us this evening. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time getting to know you better and really just deep diving into all of the stuff that you do reselling. Does that sound like a fun trip down the memory lane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we love your show, and I've listened to a few of your podcasts when I can't, watch it live. And so,
excellent.
Plug for your podcast. I don't know that a lot of people know that you transfer it to a podcast form.
Absolutely. Yeah. I download the audio only of this view of this show and I put it up on Anchor FM. I'll plug that because it automatically distributes it to me to 10 major podcast platforms. Like you said, you're not able to catch the show live, you can listen to it in the background or while you're driving down the road or anything like that. So I try to keep that in mind, that there are audio listeners only out there. So thanks for bringing that up, giving me an opportunity to plug it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, let me say hello real quick to Colby, first guest in the chat, Big Cheese Thrift. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, buddy. I do appreciate that. So, hey, let's get to know you guys a little bit more on a personal level, like I do with all my guests. I wanted to ask a few questions, lightning round type stuff to get to know how your brain moves, how you think, and how this real world really revolves around you, right? So, the first question I got for you guys is, where's your favorite vacation destination? It can be separate answers. It ain't got to be one and the same. You like the beach?
No, skiing for me.
Snow skiing, that is then?
Skiing.
Where was the last place you went snow skiing?
In Norway, actually.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, right before the pandemic. That was where we actually got engaged. We went to Lillehammer, Norway, and did some skiing there.
Wow, Kang, way to pick a destination to ask the question, dude. Nice.
Yeah, Lillehammer's where they had the Olympics too, wasn't it?
The man in the mountain. That's where we were skiing.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. Real quick, I want to say hey to one of my best supporters, and that's Ken at SSK Promo. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, my friend. If y'all got any questions for Kang and Camilla, the Fi Resellers, just let us know in the chat and we'll drop it in on them.
Yeah. So the funny story about that is Camilla's parents invited us to go with them. We had to pay our own way, but it was just one of those things where they invited us and I thought this would be the best opportunity to, be in the mountains, propose. And it was right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So the weekend that we got engaged, that I proposed, was the weekend that we had to leave. And so it was like, crazy.
And borders closed and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Did you get to stay your whole planned trip or did they run you out sooner than you planned?
Yeah, it was like one day short.
Basically.
Yeah. But it wasn't like our whole trip got short.
Well, I'm glad y'all got to have that trip. That's going to be a memory forever, right?
Heck of a story.
Yeah. Excellent. Hey, Dina, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Thrifty Junker. Appreciate you, my friend. So let me ask you this. If skiing is your favorite and Norway's the last place you went, if I wanted to go skiing in the U.S., where would you recommend I go first? Best skiing in the U.S.?
Oh, I would say in Colorado, so outside of Denver. So there are lots of resorts there, and often there are basically two main kind of owners of ski resorts. So either you have like an Icon Pass, which gets you into like one half of resorts, and then or you get an Epic Pass, which gets you into other ones. The Epic Pass is bigger, and so that gets you into places like Vail or Breckenridge or Keystone, which are kind of outside of Denver. So I would go someplace like that. My favorite place to go is a place called A Basin, Arapahoe Basin.
Where either one of those locations are.
Yeah. So it's kind of near Breckenridge, but it's a little bit closer into Denver.
Okay.
But it's kind of a fun sort of like hippie sort of feel for the place.
Yeah. Is it family oriented or just my wife and I need to go?
I mean, we like you can bring your kids there, but yeah. I mean, I've gone as a child. You know, all my life I've gone there. So,
all right. That's where I'm planning on going next.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
No more trip to Ireland from me. Can't make it out of the borders right now anyway, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
Excellent. Okay, so y'all have recently been married. You got engaged right before the pandemic. That was what, February-ish, March timeframe of 2020. When did you get married?
We got married in April.
That same year? So 2 months later?
No.
This year?
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah.
Okay. Been
almost
a year.
4 months.
Excellent. Very congratulations cool. to you both.
Thank Congrats. You.
So whose idea was it to resell?
Oh, it was my idea.
She's the boss.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I give kudos to you, Kang, for being able to admit that so quickly and easily.
Yeah. She's got her name on the papers, you know? She's the boss. She's actually literally the boss.
He's already Excellent. Learned the first important rule of marriage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sounds like you learned that one quick. All right.
Yeah.
And so how long have you been reselling, Camilla?
So I started in probably November of 2019. Mm-hmm. And the way I started was on Instagram. So I started an Instagram page to sell mostly vintage clothes. And, you know, it was kind of, I'd seen these other Instagram pages like that. And I thought, you know, I could do that. I know enough about vintage. I know, you know, fashion a little bit. I think I'm fashionable. Other people might not agree, but I was like, I could do that. And so started, you know, thrifting and picking up items, you know, things that weren't necessarily my size, putting them up there. And then kind of eventually what it got to was I wasn't selling everything that I got on Instagram. And so I was looking for other outlets of where to sell those items.
Right.
And so I put some up on Poshmark. And then pretty soon after I posted some on Poshmark, they sold really quickly because obviously the audience is so much bigger on sites like that than, you know, however many followers I had, which at the time I think I had like 200 followers on this Instagram page. Right. And so that felt really good. So then I was like, well, maybe there's more out there. And I started watching YouTube videos and just kind of realizing that there are other things that I could be selling and expanded my Poshmark closet. And then in like June of last year, I brought Kang in on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been storing all my stuff at his house. I lived in a house with roommates and things. And hey, so
there you go.
One little room, and he had, you know, a spare room in his house that I could, you know, put all my storage stuff.
So your first question wasn't, can I have a key to your apartment? It was, can I store my eBay stuff in here?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Can I keep all these clothes?
There's a new name in the chat called the Hoogs. I have heard of you before, guys, and I appreciate you coming by tonight and hanging out with us. I wanted to give everybody in the chat, it gives me an opportunity to state that The Kang and Camilla's YouTube channel is in the description below. If you have not yet subscribed to them, please do so before you head out this evening. And I do appreciate everybody who's joining us to watch. So Kang, how did you feel about the, well, first off, let me ask, are you both full-time into this or are you partial or some of you full-time and one of you part-time? What's the setup there as far as the partnership is concerned?
Yeah, so we both have full-time jobs, and we do this part-time, kind of just on the side, you know, side hustles. Mm-hmm. And we do it primarily after work. And so we come home, we eat dinner, we, you know, chat for a bit during dinner. And then, you know, if there's time, we will try to meet our daily goal of 6 listings. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the path that we've been on since last year, really. Last year, we had 5 per day, and then now it's 6 per day, which is 20% more, which is actually quite a lot. We have even considered scaling it back down to 5, but you know, it's been going pretty well. I think that the growth has been really nice.
Well, that's good. Did she have to, how hard was it for her to pull you in and to convince you into this? Were you already like you saw her doing it and you're like, hey, I can do that too? Or was it kicking and screaming and eventually she got her way and became the boss?
Well, so she convinced me. I think I was a little hesitant at first because I wasn't exactly sure, you know, how the pandemic and all of that was playing out, and, you know, going to the bins and all of that, you know, touching dirty clothes, because mm-hmm. I'm kind of a germaphobe. So just a little bit. But it took a few trips. And then I started, you know, I kind of had this idea of I want to start my own thing and see if I can make something out of it. And the first thing that I sold was this Lululemon piece. We got it for like $2 and it sold for like $60. And I was hooked just like that. It was crazy. Yeah. I was like,
that one sale had
been missing out.
Yeah. Once you get a taste of life, it's exactly.
And we've said it before, but you have to have a mentality for it. Mm-hmm. There could be those who sell that first thing and yeah, they feel it. They don't get addicted to it though. It's not like they have to have that adrenaline rush, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But those of us who stuck with it and we get that adrenaline rush every time that cha-ching goes off. Yeah. And my wife sees it as a, are you just money hungry? And I'm like, no, I'm a treasure hunter.
Oh
and
yeah.
That's, you know, I don't want to hold on to all this treasure. I want to find the treasure and then get rid of it to somebody else for what I can get rid of it for. So that's how I try to get those who don't quite comprehend it to understand. I'm a pirate.
Right. You totally vibe with that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Gary, you first.
I was just going to say, it's like being a hoarder, except you actually make money at it. You know?
We're always joking about that. We tread that fine line of hoarders non-hoarders.
So let's talk a minute about your YouTube channel. When did you decide to start making videos? Whose idea was that?
So we started in January of 2021. I think that we posted our first video on like January 2nd or something like that. It was our New Year's resolution. And it was mostly, I feel like it was kind of your idea and you were kind of pushing for it. Because, you know, we felt like we wanted to, you know, be able to educate other people about reselling and just be able to meet more people. So that was really kind of when we kind of established ourselves. We created our Instagram right around the same time, kind of did everything all at once of, okay, if this is a business, we're going to do it like a business. We're going to have all these aspects, all these, you know, pieces of it. So we can really, you know, kind of build a brand and build a community around that brand. So that's kind of where it came from.
Right. And I think something to add with that is that we saw that the mentality kind of surrounding the reselling community is kind of similar with the financial independence community, because financial independence is really all about having this freedom to work whenever you want to or not work whenever you want to. Right. And we saw that like so much in the reselling community that we saw there was a connection that could be made. And so that's why we took the whole FI resellers, you know, name and kind of just rolled with it, because there's something there. And we hope that we can create some more content around that in the future.
You're diving right into my next question, but first I want to say hello to Rob and Renee for showing up tonight. Thank you so much. A great supporter of the channel. The FI resellers, you went right into my next question. I was going to ask you the name, the history with the name, because if you were anything like me, it took you weeks to figure out the right name, because it's going to be if it takes off, it's going to stick. Right. So give us just a little bit of rundown of the thought process of the name and explain it a little bit, and maybe a few of the names that hit the cutting floor that didn't make the cut.
Well, we did mull it over quite a lot, but the origin of it is actually a pun, right? FI stands for financial independence, but there's also a different aspect of it that's RE, which is retire early. And so when you put that together, it's FIRE.
Right.
Or when you say FI resellers, it can also be FIRE sellers. And so that's kind of the whole thing surrounding it, is that we're trying to sell people on this idea that everyone can pursue this financial independence, retire early. And so it's both financial independence resellers, but it's also fire sellers. And so that's kind of the whole thing. And originally our logo was with this flame.
Right. And
so it kind of took a little while for people to catch on to it. But I think that, you know, overall it's working out. And we changed the logo to our faces to be more personable and things like that. But as far as if we were to create stickers or something, we'd put the fire logo on there.
Yeah. Well, I will admit that fire is what jumped out at me first. Mm-hmm. I did initially, I think I came across you first on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you know how they do your name. It's all lowercase anyway.
Right.
And so I saw it as Fire Sellers every time I read it, every single time. And then I saw you on, I think it might've been Jeff's show, eBay Addicts. And he introduced you as the Fire Resellers. And then I subscribed to your channel. And that's when the split, it hit me. At that point in time. So it is a pretty clever way of, you know, history on that name. I think that's pretty darn clever. Good way of coming up with that one.
Thanks.
So Kane, what is your favorite item to resell overall? Like top notch, number one category of items.
So I have always been looking out for Lululemon ever since I sold that first
sale. Now it's stuck in your brain.
Yeah. First love.
Yeah. And I'm always looking for it at the bins because, you know, the bins gives you what you want. You don't get pretty much anything that you want unless it gives it to you. And so that's just the funny thing is that you're always looking for this thing that might not even be there. And so I'm always looking for Lululemon.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually very nondescript too. I've noticed that Lululemon, it's very subtle in its branding. You know, it's not like this massive print all over a shirt or all over, you know, right down the side of a leg. I'm sure that there are some out there like that, but everything that I've seen has been extremely subtle in the way it's branded. So you kind of do have to keep your eye out for it, but when it catches your eye, you're like, all right.
And the thing about the bins is that you gotta have to feel it too. And the thing about Lululemon is that when you feel specifically Lululemon, you kind of know. So that's always been an interesting thing about it.
Has Lulu still got its name? There are some things Lulu I'll come across that I can't get rid of. I have to discount to get rid of it. And then there's other things that just fly off the shelf for the price I initially set it at. So I'm going to ask this question, assuming you know Lululemon. So if I'm wrong there, just tell me. But what Lulu would you suggest to not even spend your time? It's not even worth your time. Specifically in the Lululemon category.
Show me this.
Yeah. So, like tank tops, probably not, you won't get that much for them, maybe $15 to $20. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of, they're pretty saturated on the market.
Yeah.
And then, like cropped leggings, like the ones that, you know, look like they would just go to the knee. Mm-hmm. Those ones are not very good. And, like any low waisted or even like mid rise styles, those aren't as good. But the ones that you want to look out for are those like the high rise ones, like ones that sell really fast are like the Wonder Under and the Aligns, which are the, you know, higher waisted ones. And especially right now, like biker shorts by Lululemon, those sell really fast. Tennis skirts, like the any Lululemon skirts, those sell really well. And then the men's items, we've had a really good luck selling men's Lululemon.
I'm so glad you've made it into that category.
Yeah. So those are like some of the best. And the way you can tell the difference between men's and women's is the women's have number sizing and the men's have like small, medium, large sizing.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of an easy way to distinguish between the two. But we pick up pretty much any men's Lululemon as long as it's in good condition, which is often kind of hard to find. Usually they're kind of like all torn up.
Let me say hello real quick to Jeff. We just mentioned him and then boom, he shows up. Thanks for hanging out, buddy. And a new name, Wilton Hodges. Thanks, buddy, for coming out and joining us as we talk to Kang and Camilla, the Fi Resellers. We do appreciate all of you for coming out and hanging out with us. Renee has a, let's see. I have a pair of cropped yoga capri and have not been able to sell them. So those sound like they may be in that category that you're talking about or like in the lower end of the whole Lululemon scale because of saturation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just aren't as current of a style. So like you don't see people wearing cropped yoga like capris anymore.
Right.
compared to like right now, a lot of people are wearing the biker shorts, the tennis skirts. Those are kind of what the young Gen Z, that's what they're wearing.
I got you.
And the speed short, which is a style that we've sold, sells within a day for us for about $30. So if you could get those for cheap, those are
okay.
Cool.
Well, why am I, in for some reason here recently, I hear Kang and Camilla, the Fi resellers, and you're associated with quilts or Afghans, right? So yeah. I was hoping to take a moment to pick your brain and see if you can do a little bit of schooling for us. Because when I did see some of your videos talking about Afghans, I started paying attention to them in the store. Mm-hmm. I have zero history and knowledge on this thing. So I've got it's not so much of a game as much as it is a learning slash game opportunity. So let me share this on the screen real quick. And we're going to see if you can train us all on the proper quilts and Afghans to look for. Okay. So first off, can you name this type of crochet style? Do you know it well enough to be able to name this crochet style?
No. I would just call it a target, but
me too. I like that. So it looks like round or Ferris wheel is the proper terminology for here.
Okay. Makes sense.
Is that one you would recommend picking up and trying to resell? Is it, have you got history with this type of pattern?
So we've never found one like that, that's circular like that, but mm-hmm. I would think that would be something to pick up. Because I could imagine, when we're out looking at Afghans, what kind of I have in my head is, could I see this in someone's magazine spread of their living room, of their bedroom, in some bohemian sort of style?
Wow. Here?
So that's
and
kind
I'm
of
just
what I'm
saying, can
like,
I find this pattern on the comps?
Like, because people buy these based on style. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, does it look like it could come out of the Anthropology catalog? And this one looks like it might. Like, it would go over the back of a sofa and have, like, that circular.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the next one. This one's a little small, but do you know what they would call this pattern?
Pinwheel?
Yeah, pinwheel maybe is what I would call it.
Yay, it's pinwheel or lollipop.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say that's in the same category as the past one, the round one. Yeah. How about this pattern? You recognize this one?
It looks almost granny square.
Yeah, so that one's granny square.
Boom, granny square. See, folks, they do know they're Afghans. Yeah. I don't know them at all. I had to cheat off of a website. All right, so tell me about granny square. What is the popularity there?
Yeah, so granny squares are really popular. They're a style that we pick up often in blankets, and we've even sold like a shawl of granny squares, and that went really well. These are kind of iconic when you think of like grandma style, you know, blankets, and so that's why people like them.
The ones I used to cuddle up with on the couch when I was over at Granny and Granddaddy's.
Right, exactly. So they're very nostalgic for people.
Yeah.
So people will pay up for these. The one that we found that is kind of interesting is if you find one where, see how the kind of outline of this is white?
Yeah.
In between each of the squares. If you have one that's black and then the squares themselves are bright colors, what you can tag that with is Roseanne, that sitcom. She had an iconic one that was over her sofa.
Okay, over her sofa.
Yeah, we picked up one and it seemed like everyone had that as a keyword because people kind of associate that with that show, and they maybe want to put one in their house. And so they'll be
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm learning so like much new stuff.
$77 or something like that.
Yeah. Wow. See, there is money in this stuff, and it's just going to be $4 or $5 at the Goodwill, and you sold it for $70.
Yep.
What about this one? Do you recognize this pattern? Kind of looks like Granny Square, but not quite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so just guessing.
The inside is Granny Square. It looks like kind of the crochet pattern, but then the outside, we would call that like chevron or zigzag. We would put both of those in there.
They call this join as you go. Now, I've never heard of that, of course. Happy Harlequin crocheting Afghan. Does that look like one you've seen in the past that you think would go for some good money if I found it in Goodwill?
I mean, I would think that this with all the bright colors would go for good money.
Okay. Bright colors is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
What about this one? You recognize this type of pattern? Does it look like something you would pick up?
So that one's striped. I don't know. Maybe I would maybe put that, pick that one up and then tag it with like nautical vintage, you know.
It's called Corner to Corner. Huh. See, I'm putting all this out here because there's apparently a whole different community, just like there is for resellers. Mm-hmm. It's a community of crocheting people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then quilting is like a whole different category.
Yeah. We're in a lot of quilting like Facebook pages and stuff to learn.
Are you now?
Yeah.
Quilts, I thought you had to be over the age of 70 to be in a quilting Facebook page.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No one, don't just unsubscribe to me because I made that comment. All right. What do you think about this one? What does this look like to you?
Nice one.
So those look like flowers to me, like floral kind of connection. I don't know.
They call it a motif. A white hibiscus motif.
You're close on the flower part with the hibiscus. Yeah.
It looks like little crocheted cup. What do you call those things you put on the, that you would put your drink like down on to protect? Coaster. Thank you. Perfect word. All crocheted together, make a big old blanket, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I think that might be the last one. No, one more. Now, this one was my favorite. This kind of reminds me of the robe in the Bible. What does this look like?
Yeah, so that bright one, colors. We would say like zigzag or chevron. We would probably put both of those in the title.
They call it the ripple of happiness.
Interesting.
See, they have weird names like everything else in this world. Well, that's it.
We're all learning together.
That's are we?
Yeah.
But I had no clue. One I probably see most often is the granny square. And you said you sold it for 70 something bucks. And I've always thought with lots of different things in the reselling world, the one you see the most often is probably the one that's most saturated on eBay. Therefore, it has the lower value. But I guess that's just not the case, is it?
Yeah. Well, the one that we specifically had, as Camilla mentioned, was with the nostalgia with Roseanne. And so I think that was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Russell, how are you? Thanks for hanging out with us, buddy. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah. But another big thing with blankets is, one, the condition. You know, with crocheted blankets, it might not have a hole or something, but if it has, you know, if it's really fuzzy, you know, has a lot of pilling on it, it's not going to be as good as like one that seems like it hasn't been used as much. And then secondly, the size. So depending on what size you have, because you kind of have to look at it, like if it's a baby blanket size, it might not go for as much as like if it's a queen size blanket, you know. So that's another thing that determines price.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, I asked Kang what his favorite category was. So Camilla, same question. Is it clothes in general or a specific type or something completely off the wall? What's your favorite category?
My favorite category probably is quilts, being able to find quilts. So it's been fun, you know, these past couple months finding them and, you know, learning more about them. So, yeah.
Excellent. Hey, Brian, how are you doing tonight, buddy? Thanks for stopping by. This is quite amazing. You are absolutely right about that, my friend. Oh, and Gary. Gary, you get a what's up.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't leave Gary hanging on there, Brian. Thanks for mentioning him one more time. All right. So, okay. You guys were recently married. You said in April this year, 2021. Let's talk about your series where you went thrifting on your honeymoon.
All
okay.
Right.
Yeah. How did you come about? I mean, okay. First off, it's your honeymoon and you drag this whole reselling and YouTube into your honeymoon adventure. Talk about it. Whose idea was it and who fought the other one about it?
I think it was originally my idea because we wanted to be consistent with the content. And so we did some very short form content videos that particular week. So we weren't heavy on, you know, editing and, you know, doing that stuff. But with the thrifting and stuff, I thought that it would be fun for us to do that and do the series to show that, you know, even on your honeymoon or vacation in general, that you can go thrifting and get those items to pay for whatever trip you're going on. And so it was a concept that was born out of, you know, just trying to create unique content on YouTube and documenting it. And I think that it did pretty well.
Yeah. You still took her out to dinner several times on your honeymoon, right?
I mean, come on. Yeah. So like what it was is we had the idea of like, we should do a Texas road trip and thrift. That was like kind of the original idea.
You're in Texas, right?
Yeah, we're in Texas. Yeah, we're in Houston. And it wasn't planned originally to be our honeymoon. We were just going to like go sometime, you know, but then our original honeymoon plan was to go to Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
But beautiful. You know, in with everything going
kinda
on,
knew how that turned out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were like, I think that we could have gone, but we would have had to like get tested beforehand. And it was like an all-inclusive and we didn't know how much was going to be included anymore. You know, like you don't want to pay all this money and then you go and then it's like, okay, well, here's your dinner in your hotel room, you know, and one drink, you know, that sort of thing. So,
well, there's your ultimate test for thrifting is go to the Dominican Republic in an all-inclusive resort and thrift while you're there and see if you can pay for your trip.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, good luck thrifting in the DR. That's going to be tough.
And you got to resell local on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh my gosh.
Brian and Natasha has a question for you, though I don't understand the background of this. Fi, are you going to see HMAC live?
No, we can't go to California. So HMAC is Harry Mack, and he is a genius rapper, genius level freestyle rapper. And he is about to have his first live show in many, many years because, well, he's recently gotten very big on YouTube. But he started his stuff like 4 or 5 years ago. And Brian is a really big fan. I'm a really big fan. And that's why he's asking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Gary, have you heard of HMAC?
I can't say I have. No, I'm afraid not. I am going to look him up on YouTube, though, after this is over.
Yeah.
It's cool. Actually, you know, it's funny when people say to me, like, I heard of a band. Remember, we were playing golf, Adam. And that one person we were playing golf with, she was saying that we should check out this band called Muscadine Bloodline.
Right, yeah.
And I had never heard of them, country artist and all that. So, and I checked them out, and they were actually pretty cool. I like them, so I'd listen to them while I'm driving and stuff like that. So I'm going to check out HMAC and see, you know, what that's all about. So I like all kinds of music, so as long as it's good, you know.
Yeah, well, I generally watch so he has this Omegle Bars series where he gets three words from the strangers on the internet over on Omegle, which is like this, you know, this website. But he creates a freestyle rap on the spot off the dome for them and, you know, just gauges their reaction. And that's just the half of the fun is in those reactions because they see that he is like this insane freestyle rapper.
I will admit, I'm not a huge rap fan. I grew up when Eminem got like in high school, Eminem released his stuff and he was a freestyle rapper too. And I thought he may not have been the best rapper in the world, but he was a good lyricist. Right. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like HMAC being that he's a really good off the cuff freestyler. He might be something I would enjoy.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Gary, speaking of radio, do you want to test out this new segment?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I think so.
All right. Well, I got a little intro for that. You ready? Now at this time, Gary reads hip hop.
All right.
Hi, you're up.
Let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits you your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in the Sunshine State where bomb-ass hemp be, the state where you never find a dance floor empty. And pimps be on a mission for them greens, lean, mean, money-making machines, serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years, making rap tunes, ever since homies was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 1995, and they clock me and watch me, diamond shining, look like I robbed Liberace.
Now at this time, Gary reads hip hop. Thank you, sir, for that.
There's a poetry to it, isn't there?
Yes, there is. We just had to hear the beautiful lyricist Gary and his voice as he read hip hop with his radio voice that everyone loves. Excellent. Thank you for doing that, Gary. I do appreciate that.
Always my pleasure to represent the LBC. So
after hearing this, you would appreciate it, HMAC. Excellent. Well, okay, let's play a game. It's a new game. It's my version or my take on the newlywed game. And who else better than a guest or who is a couple who are newlyweds to play this game with. So the way we've decided to do this is instead of asking the opposite person answering the questions to leave the room, I'm going to ask one of them a question and they're going to write the answer down, you know, and the other is going to not cheat. They're going to look the other way and they're going to write the answer down on paper. And then the opposite will answer the question and then we'll flip and see if we get it right. I'm going to keep score, guys. So it's Camilla versus Kang. Usually in a newlywed game, you're trying to beat the other couples, but since you're the only couple, it's in between the two of you. So you're trying to get the answer right, all right? Mm-hmm. Of course. So are you ready for our first take on the newlywed game? Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully we won't embarrass ourselves.
All right. Kang, I'm going to ask you the questions first. You write the answer down, but hide it from Camilla, and then you let me know when you got the answer written down, and then Camilla, you'll get to answer what you think he wrote down. Alrighty?
Okay.
First question, Kang, when did you first start dating? What month and what date?
Okay.
Camilla?
October 17th.
Very good. You got that.
Nailed it.
That's a point for Camilla. All right. Starting a little easy, as you can tell here. All right. Kang, question. What family member does Camilla take after the most? What family member does Camilla take after the most?
Okay.
All right. Camilla, what do you think is the answer he wrote down? Don't show it yet, Kang. Your mom? Mm-hmm. All right. What'd you say, Kang?
I would not
credit her dad.
I think that she takes after her dad.
Well, I think I take after my dad, but I thought he was going to write down my mom.
Why did you? What?
I thought you were going to get around.
Oh my gosh. She didn't have faith in you getting the right answer. All right. In this round, this is the last question for you, Kang. Where did you go on your very first date? Where did you go on your very first date? Must have been a great place. It's a lot of writing.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Camilla, what is the answer?
Okay, it was the Euro House. It was a Euro place in a gas station.
Euro shop, Euro House. Okay, good job. You got that answer. This is just me asking a question to the both of you. It's not part of the game. Who asked who out first?
I asked her out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good deal. You know, I don't know. She's the boss of the company. I didn't know. All right. Give the paper to Camilla. It is now time for me to ask her questions and you try to answer them properly. Okay. Camilla, who said I love you first? All right, Kang, what's the answer?
Kang, I asked her, or I told her first.
All right, there you go. Good point. All right. What was your first nickname for Kang? Camilla, what was your first nickname for Kang? Wow. Brian, as you're thinking of that, Brian is just unloading some chat up in here. Not even sure what he's talking about.
I think he's playing too. I like Cole.
Oh, he is. Cole. He did. Yep, he did. Point me. Okay. All right, Camilla, you got the answer?
Yes.
Okay, Kang, what do you think is the answer?
I think it's Babe, but I'm not sure because that's pretty much all we call each other.
Okay.
I put kangaroo.
My kangaroo.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, okay.
Love it. See, that's the kind of questions we like up in here. All right. Next question. What is the best feature about your husband? What is your best? Remember, this is a PG-13 show. What is the best feature about your husband? Hey, Twin Flippers, what's up? How are you tonight, guys? What is the best feature about your husband? All right, you ready? Kang, what do you think is what she wrote down?
I think maybe thoughtful or thoughtfulness or something related to that.
Brian said your biceps.
I did think about that for a second, Brian.
Generosity.
Darn.
That's it. I think that's a good one. I think that's a point. That's pretty, yeah, I think that's a point. It's about to get real hard. you need that point to, you know, to stay tied. You're currently tied. Okay, 2 out of 3 for both of you. All right, next round, Kang, it's your turn.
Okay.
Between the two of you, who makes the most noise in your sleep? Between the two of you, who makes the most noise in your sleep?
See, I'm thinking how to relate these questions to my wife as well. Yeah.
Okay. I'm asking Kang, I'm asking you the question. What do you think is the answer? You got it? You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Camilla, what do you think he wrote down? What do you think is the answer?
Kang.
All right. There you go. Point for Camilla on that one. All right. Next question. Who bought the last random gift for the other one? Who bought the last random gift for the other one? Did you buy it for her? Or did she buy it for you? Who bought the last random gift for the other?
Okay.
Renee says, Camilla, I love your handwriting.
Aw, thanks, Renee.
She wants you to put some thank you notes together, pre-written, and about 100 to 150 of them. Put them in an envelope, send them to her. She just has to sign them.
That's my least favorite thing to do. Like, you
know. Don't sign your name, though. Just write the thank you note.
Okay. All right, Kay. I'm not sure the answer, but I'm thinking that it's this.
Okay, Camilla, what is the answer?
Kang, I think.
Who bought the last random gift for the other one? Kang bought it for Camilla. Yes, that is a correct answer for you. All right, last one in this round, and this is the last round, mind you. On your very first date, what did Camilla do that made you question whether or not there would be a second date?
Ooh.
On your very first date, what did Camilla do that made you question whether or not there would be a second date? Told you it was going to get tough. And yeah, Renee said she totally wants you to write the thank you notes for her. And Brian seems to know you guys better than you know one another.
Okay, I'm ready, I think.
Okay, Camilla, what is the answer? On your very first date, what did you do that made him question if there's going to be a date number two?
Nothing.
All right.
In the spirit of actually answering the question, I put didn't finish all of her food.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay. So you got 2 more points that round, Camilla. All right, it's your turn.
Learn to love about me because now he gets to finish all my food.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true.
I get in trouble for trying to finish other people's food. And Brian said he wants nothing to do with that question. All right. So, Camilla, your question in round 2. Mm-hmm. What's the most obnoxious thing that Kang does? What's the most obnoxious thing that Kang does? And Renee wants to know, what is it with guys wanting us to eat our enormous plates of food?
I paid for it.
I grew up with get what you want, but eat all you get.
You're taking that to go, right? You know.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
All right. Are you ready, Camilla? Right,
I'm ready.
Okay, Kang. What was the most obnoxious? What's the most obnoxious thing that you do?
I sometimes imitate her when she is complaining about something.
All right. What'd you write down?
He spits.
Ooh. Oh. Okay. That's kind of obnoxious, Kang. You're going to have to get over that one. All right.
Yeah.
Next question. Kang has an unusual desire to do what? Kang has an unusual desire to do what?
That would be the spitting. This is what should have been. You should have saved that.
She can't think of this one. I'm like, yes, I have a salad and one wing, please. Yeah. You can always go back and get more, like a buffet or something like that. You don't have to fill your plate up the very first visit, guys. It's going to get cold anyway. Sorry. While she's thinking, that's what the guys are thinking.
First date buffets are odd, though. That's odd.
Oh, the Hoogs. This is great. I'm so glad that y'all are enjoying this game. All right, Camilla, you ready? Kang has an unusual desire to do what? And Brian is obviously obsessed with your biceps, Kang.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Kang. So what is the answer?
I think it's related to my germophobia. So sometimes when we go come back from the bins, I'm like, we gotta clean ourselves. We gotta take a shower. It's like all of that stuff.
Okay, what'd you write down?
She's nodding her head.
Keeping things clean. Yep. Okay. We'll give you a point on that one. Yeah. That's really darn close. That was a hard question. You did good. All right. Last one. Looks like it could end in a tie. Who spends more money on gifts for themselves?
Oh, man.
Camilla, this is a question for you. Who spends more money on gifts for themselves?
There's a recency effect. There's a recency effect here.
I have my answer.
Okay, Kang, what's the answer?
It's got to be Kang because I recently just spent $200.
Oh, so that timing was perfect on that question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I got her permission. I asked her first. So it's like, yeah, I spent it on myself, but I made sure I consulted the wife first.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You mean the boss?
The boss, exactly. It's anonymous.
Excellent, excellent. So you guys, I think you passed the newlywed test. I mean, come on, you got 4 out of 6 questions on one another, and they were some hard questions in there. Y'all did pretty darn good. How do you feel about that, knowing now how well you know one another?
Feels good, man.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the reselling it talk. And I hope you enjoyed the game. I'd really do. Yeah. I might, if I have future guests that are newlyweds, then maybe I'll throw that in there. It's very difficult to have that game with just a single guest.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed you creating different games for all of your guests. I think it's amazing. And, you know, you recycle some of them, but it's always something different. Or you refresh it in a way.
You got to keep it fresh. And that's actually one of the things I enjoy most about the show, but it's also one of the more difficult things about the show. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate that you appreciate it. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. Boris, Brian said, I did terrible and I feel terrible. I think you knocked it out of the park. You got like 8 points, man. So like I said, you know them better than they know each other. So. I want to ask you, you mentioned the bins a lot. So is that where you visit the most, or is it just where you find, I don't know. Tell me about the bins and your sourcing tactics.
Yeah. So we mostly source at the bins, the Goodwill outlet.
Mm-hmm. Is that because it's the only one near you? It's the best thing near you. You don't like the pricing at the big Goodwills. Why do you choose the bins over the regular thrift store?
Yeah, it's mostly that we don't really like the pricing at the regular Goodwills. Mm-hmm. And it's more fun to like go to the bins and to dig. And our bins are really good, actually, the ones near us. Mm-hmm. They are in Houston, they're a little bit more expensive than like other cities. They're $2.19 a pound. And then it goes down to like $1.79 a pound when you get over 50.
Okay.
But they're, you know,
over $50 or over 50 pounds?
Over 50 pounds. So when we go, we try to go.
That's a load of clothes, pounds. Man.
Yeah. So, that's mostly where we go. And then there's another place in kind of Texas that's called Family Thrift Center Outlet. Mm-hmm. So it's similar to, you know, Goodwill's, where they're, you know, just the family thrift centers. And then there are these outlet stores. And those, they restock on Thursdays. Basically, the whole store is new on Thursdays. It starts at $2. Everything is $2 on Thursday. And then throughout the week, they don't ever replace anything. They don't restock or anything. The store just gets smaller, right, and it goes down 25 cents each day. So we like to go there if we ever have a free Thursday or like a Friday that we're off work or something like that. We'll go and shop there sometimes.
I agree with Brian. Bins are icky but profitable. They are icky.
They closed the Goodwill outlet that we had here locally. Adam and I went to that a couple of times, and we had pretty good success there. You know, some of the things that we would find, I loved the pricing on it. That was great because our Goodwill here is, well, just lack of better
term, they're officially insane. Closed.
It never officially closed.
Mm-mm. They really? Locked. They did a really weird timing on their lockdown. Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
So it looked as if they were closed.
Okay.
But they're up and running still. Oh, well, it was really weird.
When are we going, Adam?
No. Yeah. Okay. So perfect time to ask this question. You do this part time. You thrift. You said after work, right? How do you find, I mean, seriously, I got to ask this question. That's a lot of time. Bins take a lot of time to sort through those things. And people have been there all day already. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, do you wait around for them to bring out new bins? Like, I see people standing there all day at the bins, just on their phone waiting for the new bin to come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your tactic at the bins as a part-time reseller when you have limited time?
Yeah,
I would love to hear this because I'm going to take this and I'm going to steal it and I'm going to duplicate it here at mine.
So it's very dependent on the store because ours, we feel very fortunate in Houston because they are very quick compared to some that we've heard of on YouTube and other places. Ours switch out a row of about 10 bins every half hour or so. So very, very quick compared to many hours.
Even like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I would say half an hour is generous. Like it's 15 to 20 minutes that they, you know, are changing these out.
And we know that based on six per day that we need 42 items a week. And so we don't often go in the evenings.
Listen to that math calculation, man. I never even once thought about that. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, and so when we go to the bins, we try to get that 51-pound mark that we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the same time, we're trying to get a certain volume to cover about 2 weeks worth. And when we go to the bins, it's actually with those two goals in mind, we go in the during the weekend. And so it's, you know, either Saturday, you know, one day, or one full day, or until we get to 51 pounds, or until we're hungry, until we get grumpy, or Sunday. And so, you know, we have those goals in mind and we just try to do that and leave, you know?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So like this past weekend, we went to the bins and we got 51 pounds. We got there at 8:30. We left at about 11 and we're able to get 51 pounds of things that we can sell for a profit of about $15 to $20 at least. Is kind of the minimum that we basically, while we're waiting for them to switch out bins, we pick up anything that we think might be good. And then while we're waiting, we do comps and we look things over, make sure there aren't any flaws and stuff, and then put, you know, probably 3/4 of the stuff back that we don't want.
Okay. Cool. First off, I want to say hello to Chad Gateway Pickers. I think that may be your first time that you've joined us in the show, my friend, and I do appreciate you stopping by. His comment says that their bins restock the bins for 9 a.m., then close for 2 hours, and then with fresh bins, they'll reopen again at 3. So that he calls that Black Friday. That I've never heard that concept before at a bin store. What you described, where they bring out new bins every so often, is what I've personally have always seen. So that's, I never even heard that situation. I think that that would be, I don't know, I think that would be easier to determine what time to show up, right? As opposed to spending the whole day there. Which I've seen people spend the whole day at our bin store, man. So that's a really neat, different concept, the way his Goodwill Bins does it. Let's talk about your business a little bit. I'm very interested in the fact that you do the bins, which means you get 50 plus pounds of clothing, and it could be, it's obviously going to be a different amount of clothing every time. Can I ask, without getting specifics into your, because I don't ask annual numbers. I feel like that's not our business. But I'm curious, how do you track your numbers? Do you track individual sales? Do you track groups? How do you track your numbers for whatever reason you track them?
Yeah. So we take the cost of the final receipt at the total, and then we do inventory and we see how many pieces we've got from that singular bins trip. Yeah. And we divide it all out. And so. And
do you track each individual item then on a, like a spreadsheet or something like that?
Yeah. We are very adamant about that idea where we track every single item so that we know the profit of each item as it sells. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we track our numbers. Yeah. And our goal is 21,000 for the year 2021. And so 21,000 profit. And so that's kind of just our goal. We are on track. We're actually on track to blow that out of the water. But aside from that, we are very conscious of, you know, how much we're spending, because going to the bins is also relatively risk, low risk. And so we're kind of risk averse people. And so that's kind of the psychology behind going to the bins as well, is that we don't want to. So we have about 500 odd items. And if it's $2 per item, you know, it's about $1,000. And so even if it's $5 per item, you're talking about 2.5 times that. And so the risk is 2.5 or so times higher. And so we don't want to sit on that much inventory with that average cost of good. And so, you know, there's some psychology behind that as well.
So on a general basis, how many hours does it take you to get 50 pounds worth of clothes?
Usually about a morning. So from 8:30 to 11:30, maybe.
Yeah. 3.5, 4 hours.
Yeah. 3.5, 4 hours. We've gotten much better. Yeah. It used to be 5 hours actually. And we've gotten much better with doing comps and recognizing brands and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any fist fights at the bins?
No.
Have you picked any fights?
You know, bumping and stuff, but not fist fights.
Any? Have you stolen anything out of an old lady's hands at the bin?
No.
Adam, are you telling your stories again?
No.
No.
Any of that.
No.
None of that at all.
People at the Houston bins are pretty nice. Like, there seems to be kind of a good community there. It doesn't seem quite as cutthroat as some other bins. Like, we'll sometimes we'll go to the Austin bins. We'll make a trip out there and spend the whole day at the Austin bins. We'll get lunch and we'll eat it there and then, you know, get back to work to get about 100 pounds because it is cheaper there and they have better clothes. We feel like we get really good brands in Austin. And those bins are really intense. It's much bigger. There are a lot more people. People are much more intense. You kind of have to elbow your way in to get anything good. But the Houston bins, because they are a little bit more expensive, I feel like they aren't quite as cutthroat.
Okay. I want to say hey to Bama Pickin and Grinnin. I know I've seen your name all over Instagram, buddy, but I'm not 100% certain that I've seen you here in the show before. And I appreciate you coming by. And it happens every so often, but Yinzer Picker skipped by me and I didn't say hello. So I want to say hey to you, buddy. Thanks so much for coming out. I do appreciate you. We're talking about strategies for the Lone Star Picker. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming out, my friend. Talking about strategies for the Goodwill bin. So let me ask you this. Since you have a lot of expertise, let's just say, for the Goodwill bins, I personally go to thrifting. I go thrifting on my 1 hour lunch break. So if you had 1 hour and that's it, tops, what would be your strategy? For the Goodwill bins, is it different than knowing, you know, does the time matter? So what would be your strategy for a 1 hour visit?
So I would basically pick for about 30 minutes, then sort, you know, look everything over, stuff like that. And then do, like, if you had any extra time, I would pick some more. But then I would kind of look things up along the way as you're going.
Do you think that you would lose time? What I've seen is that I just like to put stuff in the cart and look it up later, right? That way I didn't miss something or that old woman took it before I could get to it.
Right.
So I could be wrong there, though, because I haven't been very profitable going to our local Goodwill bins. So what I got from you, Camilla, is, you know, it's okay to look it up as you go through it, right? As you're finding it.
Yeah. So I would, like, that would be the second, like, I would first put everything in my cart and then at 30 minutes, I'd stop to sort everything. And then after that, I'd kind of slowly pick through things.
If you got extra time.
Yeah. If you have extra time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you strictly go for the, I'm sorry, Kane, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that with the bins, for most places, you know, it's like 80% clothing at bins, or at least what we've seen. And then maybe the other 20, maybe even 30, you know, that split, that that percentage is hard goods and things. And so from what I've seen on your channel and the things on
sorry, Longstar Picker, steal from other people's carts when they're not looking.
No.
Yeah, no wonder you saw a fight at the Austin bin today.
I love that.
Controversial, but effective. Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy. What was that?
So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the strategy is different, because what I've seen in your videos is that I recall that, you know, you're trying to exit the whole clothing arena for the most part. And, you know, the bins for us is that we pick up mostly clothing. And so if we had an hour, that would be, you know, much less pressure versus someone who's going there for mostly hard goods or shoes, even, because they count shoes as, you know, clothing at our bins. But that's
yeah, really they do it by the pound for shoes here at ours as well.
And so, you know, the strategy kind of changes as you change the amount of time you have and the things that you're looking for.
Gotcha. Hey, Jake, what's up, buddy? Thanks for dropping by, my friend. It's been a while. I'm glad you stopped by. So, Gary, it's been a while since you've been to our local Goodwill bins. I know it has, but it hasn't changed. It's to Kane's point, he said 80% clothes. Ours is a small store. I'm going to guess no more than 1,000 square feet. No more than 1,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Maybe 30 tables tops. And yes, there's maybe four of those 30 tables that are not clothing. And getting out of the clothing part of reselling, that's pretty much when I decided the bins, probably my local one, isn't for me, right? So what I am itching to do is visit a huge Goodwill bins. Because I know they're going to have more to choose from that's not clothing. I'm just itching for it. So I'm going to get on the road. Gary and I are going to get on the road together somewhere in Alabama, maybe. I don't know. And we're going to go find a Goodwill bins. Gary, you up for that challenge?
I'm always up for a challenge. Now, I was going to ask the question too, like, our Goodwill for the outlets and all that does not separate women's clothing, children's clothing, and men's clothing at all. It's just all in a pile. I don't know if they do that differently where you're at, to where you can sort of, they don't. that was one of the big things that I always found with the bins. It's like I would have to dig through all the, because I really don't have any knowledge about children's clothing. I kind of just pass it over. Women's clothing, I tend not to go for because of the same reasons. You know, I typically, if I resell clothing, I do it men's clothing. And so I'm always kind of trying to look for that first and having to dig through all the stuff and say, all right, is this something I want? You know, it's, I don't know. And with the size that it is, you know, again, we find good stuff. When you find good stuff, you find good stuff. And the cost is very cheap, you know. It's just, again, you know, plowing through it. But I'd be willing to, knowing that I had more selection to choose from. Because, I mean, the reality of us as well is that we, you know, live in a smaller population area. So anything that they're collecting in there is probably not, that's the word I'm looking for, sort of very diverse in the brands. And,
they're messed up. They're cut off tank tops and they're holy redneck jeans. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Lots of redneck, lots of jorts going on. Lots of jorts. So
that's what they
are. Yeah. So it presents its own challenges. But I think, like Adam says, I think we got up to some area that's like a bigger city, you know, where, you know, of course, we go thrifting in Atlanta. It's like Christmas in July up there because there's so much and there's so many good brands and there's so much to choose from. That one store that we went into that one time, Adam, we just flat out ran out of time. You know, we were filling up buggies full
up in Atlanta. You mean?
Yeah. Up in Atlanta. We're filling up buggies worth of stuff, but we just ran out of time.
Brian, so if I'm not mistaken, aren't you in the New York area?
I think he is.
I'd be willing to take a trip to New York.
That's a long trip,
especially if you can pay for the trip by thrifting.
But
business expense.
There you go.
So that's kind of our challenge here, but I see in bigger cities, I see how it could be a lot more profitable, and I'll be honest, I seriously doubt you're gonna find Lululemon or something like that in our bins here. If you do, then God bless you. Dude. You know, the Lord is smiling
the,
on you.
No,
that
the
day.
Thing is we're so. Just not spending enough time at the bins.
I don't know. I feel like one day we went through every bit that they had, you know, and
are you talking about opening day? We got told not to record. The managers didn't want anything to do with us being in there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did get told not to record anything while we were in there. And I was like, why? I'm giving you free advertising here. You know, it's like, it's for YouTube. Mm-hmm. We do a channel that's about this. And he's like, yeah, it's our policy. It's not
okay.
Our policy. It's you just don't want me to record. Okay, gotcha.
Buggies versus carts. We have to settle this debate right here, right now. Kang, buggy or cart?
Cart, shopping cart.
You too, Camilla?
Yeah, it's a cart.
It's a cart. Gary, what do you say?
I say buggy, but I've always said that. And it's funny. I'll actually swap back and forth sometimes, like Caribbean and Caribbean. You know, I
say both. Yeah. It's just whatever comes out of my mouth first.
Exactly, yeah.
If I'm yelling at my son, go get that cart because I told you to.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll say, no, don't put that cereal in the buggy. I mean, it's just whatever comes out of my mouth, man. we got cart, we got cart, we got buggy. It looks like the South is buggy and everywhere else is cart. So it's a Southeastern part of the world thing, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Kang and Camilla for being our guests tonight on our show. Thank you so much for being here. I want to also push anybody and everybody who has not gone to their YouTube channel. Their link is in the description below. Gary's is as well, the Dixie Overland. You want to give us a quick update on your Jeep journey? Just a quick update. What's your Jeep doing?
Let's see. The last update, one of them was, I think, not running. So that one is running now. I've got a part on the way that should arrive tomorrow for the other one that's not running that should make it running. So both, well, at least one of them will be listed for sale tomorrow. Nice. As far as the other one, I'm
hoping. And that's what we've been working towards for like 3 months now, is you bought a Jeep to fix the fuel pump so you can flip it.
Yep.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
I'm excited.
I am too. Trust me. I am too. My wife's really excited because, you know, the garage won't smell like gasoline anymore. Because when you drop a fuel tank, that's what your entire garage will smell like. Which is fine. I enjoy it. I wish they made a cologne out of it. So I guess they do. You just go to the gas pump. All over you. So, you know, 10% ethanol. So,
well, Fi resellers, you got any closing words of encouragement, thoughts you would like to leave with our people listening?
Yeah. So check us out on our YouTube and Instagram, the Fi Resellers. We are kind of the quilt couple because it's kind of the branding that we started working ourselves into. Mm-hmm. And you brought it up, you know, you kind of found us through quilts in Afghan. So that's kind of part of our branding now. So it's very intentional that way. So don't sleep on quilts.
Yeah.
And we're going to come out with more videos about that hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hopefully quilts won't be something you regret in 2 years when they, when you become the quilt couple. So for sure. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Thanks you everyone in the chat. I appreciate you. I really do. Each and every single one of you. I hope y'all have a great night. Y'all stay safe out there and have fun picking. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night, y'all.